What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome to Hollywood and Levine. I am Ken Levine, your podcast host. And this week I want to talk about reality in comedy and why it is so important. And then I'm going to share with you a 10-minute play. So it's hopefully an informative and entertaining episode. The reality of comedy this week on Hollywood and Levine. Comedy that is performed usually works better if there is a level of reality. Now, I'm talking specifically about narratives, be they film or TV or stage plays. And what may seem very funny in a writing room or on the page doesn't work on its feet. And it's not because the jokes aren't funny. It's because there's no reality. And seeing actual live human beings do things that you know they never would do, or find themselves in situations that never would occur, it takes you out of the story. And when that happens, the laughter goes away. And I'll give you an example, and this is why this whole subject came up. I saw a 10-minute play recently, and I'm not going to give you the name of the playwright or the name of the play. It was actually very good to a point. It was very funny. It had a great premise, and the premise was this. You had two young women on stage, and one was looking to sublet a house from the other. The other was looking for a roommate. And there were some very good jokes about how insane real estate prices are in L.A. Now, this was seen in L.A., and of course, it got big laughs. But, you know, it's probably universal enough. I think most people either know or at least assume that real estate prices in Los Angeles are ridiculous. So all of those jokes, I thought, worked great. And then you learn after a couple of minutes that this person is not the only one who would be subletting the apartment, that there are also other people who are subletting. And that's kind of a funny twist when you learn that the spare bedroom is being taken up by somebody else. Then you find out that a third person is living in the kitchen. You're starting to go, I don't know, but okay, you're enjoying the play. You kind of give them that one. I did at least, because you could say, well, at night, no one uses the kitchen and you can set up a futon and yeah, there's no privacy, but and if the price is right, okay, maybe. I can imagine there are some instances where that has occurred. And then you learn that the renter's area would be the entrance hall, just like three steps between the living room and the front door. And at that point, you go, okay, check, I'm out of here. That is just ridiculous. Nobody would do that. And there were some jokes about easy access and how there's no air conditioning, but at least you have ventilation because you could keep the door open, and that's the damage was done. the damage was already done. And at that point, the audience just stopped laughing. And you would figure, realistically, that the person who was seeking the room would just bolt because, well, that's what a real human being would do in a situation like that. And she initially balks, but eventually she gets talked into it. And I'm listening to this and I'm going, what is happening here? It's like we are now in the bizarro world because the arguments for doing this are lame at best. And the fact that the person who wants to rent the room actually goes along with this and then agrees to rent this little area in the foyer. And you go, why in her right mind would this young woman ever agree to that? Why wouldn't she continue to look elsewhere? I mean, it is just way too far-fetched. And I always say you ignore reality for the sake of a laugh at your own peril. Okay, now, I should also mention that this doesn't necessarily apply to all forms of comedy. If you establish that this is an absurd sketch or an audio bit, like something that you might hear on a morning show on a radio station, well, then you can kind of get away with a lot more. I mean, you look at Saturday Night Live, and they had giant bees and land sharks and all kinds of outrageous things. But it was very clear, the understanding was that this was a 5-minute sketch, and the whole point was just to get as many laughs as they possibly could. That is different from a narrative where you have a story, where you have a beginning, middle, and an end. And yeah, the tone can be sort of absurdist, but still, somebody had a great expression. He said, you know, you keep one foot in reality and then the other foot can go wherever it wants to go. But you gotta have that reality for the audience to connect with it. A number of years ago, I was doing that writing seminar called the Sitcom Room. And what we would do there is we would put together 4 teams of 5 writers, and they were like writing staff of a particular sitcom. And I wrote a scene and had actors perform the scene, and the scene sucked, but the writers had to fix it. They had to go back to the writer's room and solve the story problems and solve the writing problems and come up with better jokes, etc. And there was one room in particular, they thought that they were killing it. And there were a couple of people in that room who wrote for radio shows. And they thought, since this was kind of what they do for a living, writing comedy, that they were just going to crush it with this exercise. And on the page, their script did look very funny. But when they got it on its feet and actual actors were performing it, it really kind of fell apart. And they were kind of gobsmacked. How come this stuff didn't work? And the reason was that there was no reality to it. I don't recall the specifics, but I remember that one character was giving his wife a birthday gift. And whatever they chose was something really insulting. I don't know, like a Suzanne Summers weight loss video, something like that. And they couldn't understand why it didn't get a laugh. And it didn't get a laugh because everyone in the audience was going, why would he do that? And then when the wife wasn't insulted, wasn't horrified, and just sort of accepted it, they thought, is she brain dead? What's the story here? So again, reality, you need to be grounded in some form of reality. Now, going back to that scene where the person was trying to rent the room, did they need to go to that extreme? Well, personally, I think not. I mean, there is no end of strangeness that a renter could encounter. Think of all of the crazy roommate stories that you've ever heard or experienced. You don't think you could find three or four of those that were insanely funny and also really happened? I mean, it's a rich area. A little reality would have put that play over the top. Now, coming up next is an example of a play with a crazy premise, but it is still grounded in at least some reality. This is one of those Ruskin one-day plays. Remember I told you about that before, where the Ruskin Theater in Santa Monica, once a month on the third Sunday of every month, has this one-day cafe play festival. And what that is simply this. Five playwrights show up at the theater at 9 o'clock in the morning. We are all given the same topic, and we are all issued headshots of two actors. And we have 3 hours to write a play on that particular topic. And the only thing that we have in terms of a set is a table and two chairs and a counter off to the side. So all of the scenes have to take place in a cafe, in some sort of restaurant. Okay, and like I said, you have 3 hours to write this, and then the actors and directors come in, and then they rehearse and learn it all afternoon. And that night at 7:30 and 9 o'clock, it is performed for an audience. It's a high-wire act, to be sure, but it's great fun. So in October, I participated, and the theme was Fright Night. So I thought to myself, well, what can I do that's a little bit different? Because everyone is going to do some sort of Halloween-esque play, and I wanted mine to be a little bit different. And so I remembered that I had read an article some months before, and I thought it was so weird that it kind of stuck in my head that there are these restaurants in Los Angeles and New York and other major cities where you dine completely in the dark. It is pitch black, and you dine, and the idea, of course, is that all of your other senses are heightened. Like I say, these things actually do exist. So I thought, oh, that might be kind of fun, that if I have two people who are afraid of the dark for some reason, and they're having a date in a dark dining restaurant, that I could get an awful lot of mileage out of that. But before I started writing, I went online and I found a couple of YouTube featurettes that talked about this and explained what the experience was like. And based on that and some of the things that I learned from that featurette, I went off and wrote the play. Now, it's perfect for a podcast because there's nothing to see. It was performed completely in the dark. So what I want to do now is play it for you. It was performed by Kate Causey and Jamie Daniels at the Ruskin Theater in Santa Monica on October 20th, 2019. Now, the actors were not expecting some of these laughs, and in a couple of places, they kind of step on some laugh lines. So in some places, you're going to have to kind of listen carefully. But I think you will get the gist of this. It is called A Dark Place. Enjoy it, and then I'll come back and talk a little bit more about it when it's over.
This is insane.
Come on, it's like the hot new LA thing. Dining in the dark?
On the first date, you take me to a restaurant that is completely pitch black?
It's an experience. I just soak in the atmosphere.
What atmosphere? Okay, no, I get it. Your profile picture picture's bogus. You're not 32. You're 80.
No, I am 32. I can show you my driver's license.
How?
Why would they ever have a license in Braille?
Because there are drivers in Florida.
Ah. Oh, look, this place is perfect for you if you're a foot.
No, it's perfect if you're Mike Pence and you have a gay lover.
Okay.
Oh shit! What?
No. What did? What?
What did? Wait. What did I just hit?
You hit my face.
Oh, shit. Sorry. You're shorter than I thought.
I'm 6'1".
Wait, really? Wait, let me feel your head. No, oh, you're standing now.
Yeah. And you're...
I can feel the key fob in your pocket.
Not my key fob.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit, shit. Oh, my God. I am so sorry.
Wait a minute, wait. You thought it was my key fob?
Well, it's over.
Not even a money flip?
I don't, I'm sure when aroused.
Yeah, you bet. You know, it'll pop right up. Like, you know, but that's more indicative of my actual fob.
Okay, okay, I'm sure. Please just sit down.
I am sitting.
I know you went to a lot of trouble to make this special, and I'm being bitchy, and I'm sorry. It's just, you know, it's tough on first dates. There's so many questions. Will he be nice? Will he be kind? Will he blind me? So let's just start over, okay?
Yeah, I would like that.
Okay. I would too. Let's just enjoy this unique dining experience.
Yeah, you'll love it, okay? I promise.
I'm sure I will. Ah! What the fuck?
It's just the waiter.
Christ! They should wear bells!
Whatever it is, it smells delish. Ah, soup.
Soup? Seriously? Soup?
Where's my spoon? Got it. It's like split pea or lobster bisque.
I just hit my nose with my hand. Oh. There's soup all over my face. They should provide a straw.
Yeah, the environment.
I can't find my napkin.
Here, I have one here. Just lean toward me, okay? Here.
That's my breast.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, you're taller than I
thought. I have to get this on my dress. You know, it's brand new.
Take it off.
Excuse me?
Well, that's not like anybody's going to see.
Have you lost your mind?
I've taken off my shirt.
You have? Jesus, I'm on a Tinder date with Pepe Le Pew.
Okay. Oh, God, geez. I'm trying to make you uncomfortable.
Okay, I'm not uncomfortable.
Just get in here.
Do not sneak up on me, goddammit! Look, I'm trying to be a good sport here, but there's something you should probably know about me. I've had some anger management issues.
Really? You didn't list that in your profile.
Well, who the fuck would? God, I'm totally good.
How long have you had this problem?
Since I was a kid and was locked in a dark closet.
Oh. No. Do you want to go?
No, let's just continue. You know, what doesn't scare the shit out of you only makes you stronger. Yes. What is this new course?
Looks like some sort of burrito. Oh, I don't know, it's like leather.
What? You're eating my handbag!
Right.
Chill, I did
it on purpose, okay?
Chill, chill, totally chill. whatever this is, it's squishy. Is it cheese fondue?
Guacamole.
Don't dip my handbag in it.
That's the one good thing about this place. They don't have to worry about presentation, right?
Yeah. Hometown Buffet should switch to this format.
That's good. You're hilarious.
Are you always so cheerful?
Me? Goodness. No. No. I mean, I've had serious bouts of clinical depression, if I'm to tell you the truth. I even once considered suicide.
Oh my god. Why?
I don't know. There's no reason in particular. That's the thing. But I lived for a winter in Stockholm, and for 3 months, the sun came out like 10 minutes at a day, you know? So I don't know. It just, all the nighttime, it just triggered me or something.
Maybe this is not the best spot for us.
No. It's good. No, like you, I have to work through my issues, right? So, you know, what better place than somewhere where I can relive my most frightening fear?
On a first date?
I had a Groupon. For some reason, I started taking off my clothes. I don't know.
Nope.
It's just waiter, okay? Relax. I'm sorry, I won't kill myself again, okay?
No, it's not that. Waiter, if you do that one more time, I will fuck you up. Do you hear me? I will fuck you up bad. Can I get another napkin?
I think we've reached the main course here.
Not a moment too soon. Duck.
Swordfish.
It could be squirrel for all we know.
Yeah. Well, it's delicious. You know, whatever it is.
What is happening right now?
Can't breathe.
What? You want me to do the Heimlich? Oh my god, okay, I just want to do the Heimlich. Okay, here, hold on, easy, I got you, okay. Okay, you broke my tin again!
Okay, I got it!
Are you sure?
Yes, you're joking me now!
Sorry.
Thank you. I'm pretty sure it was duck.
Now it's roadkill.
I just realized something. I didn't want to die. I'm in the dark and I want to live.
And I didn't get mad that you caught the cheap feel.
That was an accident.
And didn't let go.
This is a breakthrough. This is a real breakthrough.
Me too. Like, normally I would be fighting with Mace right about now.
Yeah, what a relief.
I think actually graduate from anger management class after 3 tries.
You can't actually see it. I'm actually really smiling right now.
Oh my god, we should celebrate.
Absolutely. Hey, we could have sex. Like, right here. No one would even know.
Yeah. Until the waiter comes back and without us knowing it, turns it into a threesome.
Ah, good.
We should be somewhere light and bright and festive.
Yes. See, that's the thing about this place. Dinner is only part of the experience. It's also an escape room.
What?
And that was A Dark Place, starring Kate Causey and Jamie Daniels, and it was directed by Paige Siegel. Anyway, going back to that featurette, here's what I learned. That people didn't know what they were eating, and oftentimes they would think that they were eating something else, that they couldn't even agree on what it was they were putting in their mouths. People would hit their nose with their hands, that they didn't have good eye-hand coordination. That people would touch each other by mistake. That waiters seemed to sneak up on them. That some people found the whole experience scary and weird, and it brought out all kinds of neuroses and anxiety that they had generally repressed. Also, people spilled things and they knocked things over. So armed with all of those things, I was able to go back and incorporate them in the play. Now, had I not seen the featurette, I have no idea what that play would have been. I have no idea what I would have imagined. But I suspect that half or 70% of it would be wrong. That somebody who had gone to a dark dining restaurant or a waiter from a dark dining restaurant would go, that would never happen. That never in a million years would happen. All of the things that occur in my play are things that could and probably have happened. And so that's what I mean by using reality. You can take those elements and bring them to absurd levels, but as long as it's grounded in reality, you should be in good shape. And that will do it for this edition of Hollywood and Levine. Our thanks again to Kate Causey, Jamie Daniels, Paige Siegel, also Adam and Susie Meister, Butler, Howard Hoffman, John Wolfert, Bruce, and Jason Miller. If you want to write me, I do have an email address, and I do write you back, HollywoodLevine@Outlook.com. That's HollywoodLevine@Outlook.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @KenLevine. I'm also on Instagram, Hollywood and Levine. If you haven't already, please subscribe. And I could always use a 5-star review. I know I'm shameless. I will talk to you again next week. Thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Hollywood and Levine.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.